Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the seas, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Thank you, Susan. All right, friends, our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Let me pull this up here. Today we get to hear and practice and celebrate and remember that this is Trinity Sunday. Last week we had Pentecost Sunday, and now we move to a celebration of the Trinity, and we hear the Great Commission from Jesus. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, may we hear your word today. In a fresh way, would your spirit blow through our lives. Inspire us, Lord, to be your agents of change and reconciliation, grace and peace in the world. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So as I said, today we celebrate Trinity Sunday. We mark this day by hearing the Good Commission and Jesus telling us to go out, baptize and teach all nations. As we dive into this text, I have to acknowledge, it has been said that we Presbyterians aren't all that comfortable talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a stereotype for many Reformed traditions. We're just not very spiritual, they say. I want to push into that stereotype today and wonder what is underneath it. Are there parts of our faith that we'd rather just not pay attention to? Like things we don't understand? Sure, there are. But it is also embedded in our culture, our world, to shut off certain voices and ways of thinking that make us uncomfortable or are so different from us that we don't want to notice them or attend to them. This morning, I am wrestling with this thin line between the question of why we don't always pay attention to the Holy Spirit and why we find it so easy to not pay attention to the invisible but very tangible forces like racism, hate, fear, power, and privilege. It is just so easy to tune out. Today, we are invited instead to tune in and to listen. As we hear Jesus' great commission to go out into the world and spread the good news, I want to focus on the concept of the Trinity, God in three persons. I'll give a very brief theological framework to you all. Christians are a monotheistic people, and we proclaim God is three persons. There's a beautiful tension built into our faith. Three in one. One God, three persons, each distinct, particular, and yet also beautifully intertwined in a divine dance. There is God. God the Father, or God the Mother, God the Creator. God is the ground of being, who holds the whole world in his hands. There is Jesus, the Christ, the Son, the firstborn of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lamb of God. Christ, the embodied, enfleshed person of the Trinity. And then there is the Holy Spirit, the pneuma, the breath, the fire, the rushing wind, the ruach of God, the advocate, the presence with us here and now, the one who lights us up and empowers God's people to do their work in the world. We honor and celebrate these three distinct parts of God as we share the good news. And when we recognize that we have cut off a part of their collective voice, their collective self, a part of God, we recognize that we are missing something, that we're not getting a full picture of God's love and reign to share. That's what I want to focus on today. When we find ourselves focusing on only one or two persons of the Trinity, we find ourselves creeping into perilous territory. You might think that statement's a little strong, but I want you to hear me out. When we lose sight of the Creator, or of the Christ, or of the Spirit, we cut off an all-important part of God's body, God's self. This is perilous for a couple of reasons. Rather than speaking in theological terms all morning, I want to illustrate this problem by looking right into the face of two major issues facing our world right now: the coronavirus pandemic and the awakening of so many to the injustices of systemic racism. Denying a person of the Trinity, specifically in this case, the Holy Spirit, is dangerous. Think about this. The coronavirus and many forms of disease and illness that we face in the modern world is hidden. It might be on a surface that you touch or in the sneeze of a person next to you, transmitted silently and invisibly. To ignore that reality is to risk infection. That's why we're all wearing masks when we go out into the world these days, right? We do it for love of neighbor, and we do it for love of self. When we ignore that unseen reality, we face danger. In the same way, when we ignore the unseen presence of the Spirit, or when we diminish the Spirit's active work in the world, we find ourselves with a dangerous faith. We have the big God in the sky and the loving Jesus who once walked the earth, but we have no animating presence of the Spirit with us today. We then lack imagination and inspiration, which the Spirit provides. Our faith becomes rigid, all too strict and human. We need pneuma, breath, that Spirit that enlivens us. Would you deny that there are these particles of disease floating around, impacting hundreds of thousands of people? No. It's very clear, though it cannot be seen. So in the same way, we do not deny the animating presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, another example, one that might be a little more hard to stomach, but which we need to pay deep attention to. Leaving out a person of the Trinity gives us a stunted form of faith. It's underdeveloped, malnourished, missing something very important. It's as if a voice has been excluded from the table. And here we find ourselves with systemic racism. Since its founding, our nation has silenced the Black voice and used the Black body for slavery and scapegoating. The Black voice has not been invited to our tables, to our pulpits, to be represented in equitable ways amongst our white conversations and culture. And what has this wrought? So much pain, so much violence, so much injustice. When we leave out a person of the Trinity, we get a stunted picture of the fullness of God. When we deny or leave out a Black or brown person, we get a stunted, underdeveloped, painfully lacking picture of humanity. I'm struck by the movements in our nation this week as people stand up for Black lives. There was an incredibly powerful gathering at Maritime Heritage Park yesterday, where we gathered together with thousands of other Bellinghamsters to listen and stand with people of color in peaceful solidarity. It was beautiful and profound. And it offers a glimmer of what the fullness of humanity can be when we celebrate and honor the Black voice. We no longer have need for a stunted humanity. We need the fullness of hearing and celebrating and lifting up people of color who have been so long silenced. This is what the people of God are called to do. When Jesus sends out his disciples to go and baptize and teach, he sends them out with the fullness of God. I'm going to take a very quick aside here. We have a translation of scripture, the New Revised Standard Version, that we typically use in our worship settings. It's great for reading and getting a sense of the original words that were used in the scriptures. It's good for study, and it's approachable to so many people. And however, it's not perfect. One thing we might note about today's text is the language of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those are accurate translations of the original Greek. And yet, they're also stunted in their own way, as they highlight only a masculine form of God's name. I'm not going to argue with the NRSV's translation. I read it myself and really enjoy it. But what I want to note is that there are other more inclusive and helpful ways of speaking God's name that can invite us more deeply into the fullness of God and not exclude parts of who God is. We used one of those as alternatives in our prayer of confession today. God as creator, Christ, and Spirit. And notice, it's just a subtle but very important distinction there. It calls in more, and it celebrates more voices. And that is what the Trinity does. It invites us in. Jesus sends out the disciples to go and baptize and teach to all people. In the disciples' stories, which follow in the letters and the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament, as well in the tradition of the church, we find those disciples and apostles going out to all people all over the world. When we discover the fullness of God that is here in the Trinity, all people and Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit bound together, we find God inviting participation. God dances with God's people, calls us to join in, calls us to sing of God's love and redemption with everyone. Our work, friends, is not to settle for a stunted or dangerous version of the Trinity. We need Creator and Christ, which we're pretty good at. And we also need Spirit, the wild, untamed, enlivening, uniting presence of God. And so what do? We want to plan an action step, a bullet point list. Think again about the Black Lives Matter movement swelling in our nation. White folks like myself want an action step, a book to read, a list of things that I can do to help. But like rediscovering the Holy Spirit, and like slowing the spread of pandemic And like the movements that we are seeing across our nation, what we really need to do now is stop and listen. Be still and pay attention. We've talked enough. We've led enough times. Now we need to be led. We need to listen. We need to stand beside and not in front of. One of my favorite images of the Holy Spirit is that of the Spirit as a deer. If you've ever hiked out into the woods, you know that humans can make a lot of noise. But when we slow down and sit, perhaps in a clearing in the trees, and wait patiently, we begin to notice so much more life around us. Imagine for a moment sitting on a tree stump, on the edge of a clearing, and silently waiting. Slowly, the deer creeps out of the woods and into the tall grass of the clearing. It notices you, but you are still and silent, and you're not a threat. And so it steps out further, chews on a flower, slowly makes its way into full view, and it is beautiful. It is wild. You see its powerful legs that allow for it to run swiftly through the forest away from predators and in joyful frivolity of God's good creation. You see it and you are undone. This is what it looks like to encounter the Spirit of God. Wait patiently, silently. In stillness, she arrives. May we go, friends, and baptize and teach. And in such actions, may we practice stillness, faithful listening to the voices that have been too long silenced. And may we be made new ourselves. Perhaps when we finally realize that we can go and baptize and teach, we ourselves will be taught and baptized again and again as well. My friends, take heart in this season. Christ, the embodied member of the Trinity, promises to be with us. In spirit, in God's loving creation, in our hearts, we're not alone. Let's pray. Holy God, animating presence, life within us, lead us out. May we know your presence today. Lead us into places where we can be silent and listen more deeply to the voices who have been silenced. Lead us into places where we can teach and baptize and proclaim your good news and be taught and made new once more again ourselves. Go with us, Lord. Amen.